A musical adventure. New artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
Spring has sprung. Hello, everybody, and welcome to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Beautiful weather in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope the same is the same wherever you are listening to. And we really appreciate you taking the time to joining us. This is your host, this and every episode, Jamie Rodriguez. And so excited, guys, to present to you yet another wonderful guest from South by Southwest 2024, Baith Alone. Baith Alone is the moniker for Atlanta dream pop multi-instrumentalist Bailey Crown. So growing up with a formal background in classical music, Bailey first borrowed her way into the Peach State's indie scene as a teenager. She picked up drums, guitar, and bass early on and sharpened her skills playing in various bands, including drumming, which was founded on her skills as a drummer for Baith Alone itself. So she's a badass. And we were also joined by her bandmate, Damon Moon, and had a great, great in-depth conversation about stuff like divorce, putting your life and your emotions on music. Just really interesting, in-depth, captivating stuff. So we were so thrilled with this conversation, and we hope you guys enjoy it. Baith Alone is a tremendous band, and you guys ought to see them live. For tour dates and more information, baithaloneband.com. So let's get on with it. What do you say? Baith Alone on J-Rod Concerts, the podcast.
So stoked for Idol Duo Community, first of all. Like, that's coming out about June.
Yeah, I'm so stoked too.
How is it to release an album into the world? Like, is that like exciting, anxiety, a little nervousness? Like, what are the feels there?
Oh man, I feel like every album I've released has been a different process. But this one, I almost feel like we've been working on this record for so long, like what, 3 years? Yeah. That like I just had so many emotions making it, and now it's like feels good to kind of be over with the emotions of the songs and be a different person releasing it. The turnover was a lot quicker for the first two records, so it was more nerve-wracking, I feel like, but this just feels good.
Yeah, it's nice to put a bow on it and get it out. Yeah, like you said, some of these songs started their life like 2.5 years ago or something, and then there's some that are like brand new. So it's such a, sometimes albums are like moments in time, but this feels like a time period. So it's it's kind of nice to be like just done with that period and on to the next.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fascinating about you guys and your songwriting, and Bailey, you're so good at it, but it was also powerful. Like I'm divorced too, right? So, and like you've been pretty outspoken about it, right? Like,
yeah.
What an interesting experience that must be to like put it on audio and like kind of like let go of yourself, like as a human, like, and like share it with the universe and the cosmos and your fans, right?
Yeah, it's something I've never been like pointed about before, but I felt like really like I wanted to be specific for once. And instead of vague.
Right.
And I realized it felt good to do that. And I have like so much to say from viewing the situation as I'm going through it, viewing the situation afterwards. Like, it's crazy how
it is wild.
You like stages of grief. You can talk about the same incident from this stage, have a whole new like story to tell.
Yeah.
6 months later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you nailed it when you said grief. When you're in a band, you know, and with someone like Bailey, and she's your sister, basically, you know, and you all are going through stuff, and I'm sure you go through your own things as well. How do you do that balance of capturing the art, but also giving like Bailey or you or whoever like needs that space to go through those ups and downs that only that person is feeling?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to try to be on all sides of it, because I think eventually at least with us, it's like, it all kind of became one side, like we're close friends. But to like watch her going through this stuff and yeah, like seeing her viewing all these things from the different points of the process and everything, and just trying to like empower, every decision she's making, and also like focus on the music and what we're doing in the studio, and to try to like help guide that in whatever way that I can.
Yeah.
It's definitely like, it's a lot of hats, but you know, I'm a hat man. Yeah. So
that's that being so fulfilling, Bailey, not only as an incredible artist that you are, you know, but just like as a human, to have like kind of like that 360 support on all angles, right?
Yeah, feel like I can be, I feel inspired to be myself.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
y'all are just really supportive, you and the whole band, all my friends, of just like really appreciating like whatever story it is that I'm telling. And y'all have seen me go through it as friends from start to finish, and they understand what actually happened. And it feels just like a safe environment to speak in.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because I did read an interview with one of your influences, Hayley Williams, and she had her own kind of thought. She dabbled in her own individual career. For that same reason, I feel like she said that she came back to the band because she missed not just the creative outlet, but like all those hours in between, the driving, the support, the being there for each other, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what she went through, but I was like a huge fan of Pedals for Armor when it came out.
Well,
and
you learned the drums through
yourself. I love, like everything that they do is just so good. But her, I feel like she did something with Pedals for Armor where like the first part of it, like Summer is like angry. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like she went through like different stages of grief in her album.
Oh, sure.
And I was not divorced at the time. I was in my marriage when that album came out. And I just thought like, wow, this is fascinating to relate to now, like listening to that album. I'm like, oh my God, I am angry.
Yeah.
I am like these different stages. It feels so like visceral, and I relate to that. I don't know her experience, but I feel like I relate to that project even more now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what you said, but yeah, like after my divorce, there's records that are like the Black Keys Purple album, which is far from their best, but it's their divorce album, and it's like it hits different. It's like, oh, I get it. You know, it doesn't have the bangers, but goddamn, I know what you mean now, or about, you know.
Yeah.
Amazing. Let me take you back to Georgia when you were a little ham there. You know, since you mentioned Josh Kreitas, since you mentioned Paramore. So you learned like drums was your first love, right?
Yeah, I was in like symphonic bands and was playing like classical instruments as like a little ham.
Yeah.
And then when I became a bigger ham, I like 16, I picked up like rock instruments.
Okay.
And I wasn't doing that in school, but I was taking my experiences and just how music works and you know, how to practice well, like on the rock instruments.
Yeah.
And I just really connected with drums, and like, I wish I could drum in Faith Alone live, but I drum on the records, right. And that's all I need. But
that's all you need?
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
I never say never. I mean, you're so good too. Are you, like musically, like classically, like you can read the notes like she can, or are you just like,
well, yeah, my first instrument was like clarinet growing up, and then like quickly after that, I actually like got into recording sort of before I got into playing, like in fourth grade. A friend put headphones on me in a playground. I was like, you have to hear this. And it was like,
what was it?
I think it was Zeppelin 3.
So, yeah,
and it was just like, I was like, well, why do these drums sound this way? Why does that guitar? I've never heard a guitar sound like that. So I got obsessed with that. And so my parents that year were like, we'll get you a guitar or a four track for Christmas. And I got a four track. So my first recording experiences were just like with a clarinet and a four track, then like harmonizing with myself and then just twisting the pan pots.
And you're like a little scientist from the beginning.
I guess. Yeah. I didn't really like
make sense.
I didn't think it was that weird until later. And I got into guitar and into everything else, but yeah, I mean, mostly, you know, yeah. Self-taught, but
yeah.
But that theory and everything is a big passion for me.
Totally. Just, you know, one question about like your upbringing, because I find it fascinating. I know that, you know, you were not like the best like academic student, if you will. You were like a rebel, you know, which makes sense. I feel like you kind of have to be like a good creative that way. But when did you realize like, man, like, you know, I don't think I'm going to be like an accountant. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But you're like, I think that like my head is somewhere else, you know, it goes into different spaces.
Yeah. So, I mean, that part of Georgia is very like affluent, and failure is not an option. Everyone's going to be a doctor. Everyone's going to be a lawyer. And like, I remember like everyone's going to like all these really good colleges, and I was like really struggling in school, and I just kind of got in my head about it and was just like, I don't think I'm good at this. I don't like this. This is not. And I almost like felt like I was nice. All my teachers were like, Bailey's so nice, but it seems like she's given up. And it's just because I was so stubborn, and I just wanted to, like, I just went home and made music and, you know, played around video games and just was like anti-school, anti-authority. And I just really thrived in my own little world with making things. And I just realized that, you know, I don't want to. I went to a community college and it's like, what's the point of this? Yeah. I'm just gonna go make something. And, you know, my parents have always been supportive of that. And
yeah, that's great.
But
well, kudos to you with being comfortable being uncomfortable. Cause
yeah.
Do you relate to that, baby? Like, let that like you're cool with the unknown?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. You got to be right as an artist.
I guess. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm fortunate enough now that I'm in my like, I think 12th or 13th year of just producing and engineering.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah.
But I mean, like before that, it was like I was on tour with other bands and working just whatever little retail job I could find in between things. And
sure,
it was just like, okay, this is the year I'm gonna like put my job and start taking music like full on. And then, you know, that was like, it was literally like a New Year's resolution. And I think I left my last part-time job in April that year and just never looked back. But yeah, I mean, it's a grind and has a lot of
with a purpose,
a lot of downs and a lot of ups, you know. But here we are.
And but guys, let me leave you with this, because I know you have a busy week ahead and this is your off day, and I don't want to, you know, make you lose all your voice. But Bath Alone, just, you know, I haven't seen you guys live yet, but from everything I saw online, you guys are spectacular live, and your fans are rave about it. You guys have a great live reputation.
I think,
I guess, you know, yeah, like, what do you attribute that to? I mean, it's not just the songs, but like, how you get into that state? I feel like you guys break that fourth wall in a very powerful way. Is that easy to do? Like, I feel like, you know, if you're on a 30-show run, and you're having like a bad day, or man, you have a stomach ache, I don't know, but like you still seem to always act a bit.
Well, thanks for that. Oh, so nice of you. I've been in other bands, and I feel like when you're in your band and you're playing live, you're like, yeah, we're so good. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like that with Bailing, so it means a lot that it's something clicking. Yeah. But I feel like it's your brain is the live band. His brain is a live band.
There's so much like preparation that we put into the live show. And I mean, there's six people on stage and there's like seven keyboards and
nice.
Three or four guitars. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening. And so
the loaded loadout must be interesting.
Yeah. But that's the thing, you know, that's always been like, I'm like, that's just what I really have always wanted to do is just have like the big rock show, you know, like, I think there's something to like minimalism and simplicity, but there's also something to like going to the rock show. And that's like some of my core memories as a kid were like those kind of things. And so being an engineer, I'm really passionate about just bringing the studio to the stage. So we use a lot of tech and a lot of fun things to try to. I just want an immersive live show, and that's what we try to do.
Guys, that's why Beta Low is resonating with audiences far and wide, and you guys have an exciting year ahead, and it's all uphill from here. And you guys have great energy, great art, so what could go wrong? Great ethics. So thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you. Bye, both.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.